family, or is work overshadowing everything in your life?
Have you fulfilled the mandates of your calling? Are you even aware of what your calling might be? My favorite one is the last one. Have you just lied to me? Because we wear masks, and none of us wants to see or talk or hear about our own junk or share it with anybody. So when someone points a finger at me and says, "Hey, have your financial dealings had any integrity this last week? Have you exposed yourself to any sexually explicit material? Have you spent any time or been with a woman anywhere that might have looked compromising?" If that question comes up and I go, "Oh, who wants to say yeah?" So we fudge it. And that's why I love the last question. Have you just lied to me on any one of these? Burn. Right? And so it's just a template. It's just a thing that kind of jumpstart that initial accountability relationship. If you're interested in any of these are going to be on the website starting on Monday if you want to go back and reference or whatever, so you don't have to feel like you have to scribble stuff down. But it's important for us to do that kind of work, that discipline, to develop it in our lives as a disciple. B. H is have alone time. A is accountability. B is Bible memorization. Now, I know as soon as I say that, we all feel like Sunday school. We've already done the Sunday school thing. I know John 3:16. What more do we need to know? But it's one we don't talk about a whole lot because it's easily guilt-inducing. And we don't want people to feel guilty. Because that's not the point. Memorizing your Bible or not memorizing your Bible isn't about whether you did or not. Because that's guilt. You don't need that. I don't need it. What would be the reason for memorizing your Bible? Anybody? Why would you do that? To fight what? Yeah, temptation, things that come up, anything that happens in our lives. Bible memorization is sort of this way for us to rewire our thinking. You see, when sin entered the world, we became twisted from how we were supposed to be. Sin twisted our nature, our character, our personality, everything about people. And God's Word helps undo that twist just a little bit. It rewires how we think. It's not a new concept. As far back as King David in ancient Israel, listen to his words from Psalm 119. "I have hidden your word in my heart." Why? Anybody remember that one? Did you memorize that one from Sunday school? "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Now, that's a great verse to have hidden in our hearts. But what if a sin about something else than hiding the word in our hearts shows up? And that temptation hits us. What are we going to use to counterbalance that, to rewire our thinking? The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he says the same thing. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, who's in you, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Bible memory is so important. I know we've talked about it before, but it's critical for us to pay attention to what we know. I've said this before here, I think. There was a pastor that I heard many years ago who had been serving churches behind the Iron Curtain before it fell. He had been in prison for dozens of years. He couldn't preach standing up because they'd beaten his feet so much he couldn't stand for very long any longer. But he challenged me, and the words that he spoke, this is easily 30 years ago, folks, but they've never left me. Do you know one verse for every year you are alive? Not can you memorize chapters and reams of, which would be great if you could or did, but do you even just know one verse for each year you're alive? 365 days to get that stuck in my noodle. One verse to stick there. 365 days. Have I even taken that time to know one verse that would make 51?
different verses. That's the challenge. Bible memorization. A discipline we need to pay attention to. I. Be involved in your faith community. You probably recognize this one from our know, grow, show. Be involved in your faith community. It's on our Discipleship Pathways show. This is where you get to put to work the things you've been learning as a disciple. The disciplines that you're putting into your life will give birth to things that you want to give back to the community by being involved. In fact, it's a chance for us to test whether we've actually been hearing the Spirit of God in our hearts well. Like Corey challenged us last week. When we feel like, okay, God has given me a mandate, a something, test it. I am not so foolish to think that even though the Spirit of God in me, the twistedness of myself, hears clearly. So test it. I really feel like I should be involved in evangelism. I need to go out on the street and love people who are down and out. Okay. Try it. And you get out there and you go, oh man, that is too heavy. I come home and I am beat and I'm dragging and I am totally spent. I just can't. That is not for me. Okay. Now what is then? Find it. Maybe there's a support thing you can do. In our church, we've got all kinds of support things that happen. We just talked this morning about tearing down this chairs and the media stuff and all the instruments and getting it ready to get shipped to G.W. Graham. Maybe you're not an upfront person like me to stand and talk to folks. Well, there's a way for you to get involved and actually make a difference. I remember a Christian camp back in Winnipeg, north of Winnipeg. There was a maintenance guy. Hardly ever saw him, didn't talk, quiet guy. And we were trying to find him one day. We couldn't find him. His name was Dave. And we're getting into the chapel of this camp. And we're going, there's nobody in there. Hey, Dave! And we're just wandering around. You hear, Dave, Dave! And in the chapel you hear, over here! Dave, is that you?
I'm over here!
Well, what are you doing?
I'm winning kids for Jesus!
He was under the stage, rewiring something, getting it all fixed. There was a hole because they had done some crazy event. But in his head, his involvement by doing that
was running kids for Jesus.
That's just as significant as someone who stands up front or does the talking or them playing music or anything like that. Find a way to be involved. T. Tithing. This is also a bit of an uncomfortable one, isn't it? Getting up on my business about finances, aren't you? And we're aware, I'm aware, I'm on the leadership team here in our family of faith, that we've been working hard at talking about what our church finances are like for the last several months. But here's the reality, folks. Everything, literally everything, belongs to God. He's the creator, the sustainer. It's He who gives whatever resources that we have. And our job is just to be a faithful steward to them. Years ago, one of my mentors, Pastor Ed Gertzen from Maple Ridge, he said this, the reason we get is to give. And pretty soon, we get and we can give. And we get to give. And as that discipline develops in our lives, you know what ends up happening? We change the punctuation of that sentence. It's no longer we get to give. It becomes we get to give. We get to give. We get to give. I get to give. That's where the discipline goes for a disciple. I think this is the only area in all of the disciplines that a disciple can develop that God Himself says, I dare you. I dare you. Test me with this. Test me. I dare you. You think you can give? Great. I dare you to give more than me. If you got a pen, you can look it up later. I'll read it right now. It's in Malachi 3, verse 10. It's the Italian book in the Bible. It's sometimes pronounced Malachi. It's just before the New Testament starts. Chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test." It's almost God saying, come on, I dare you. Give generously. Hilariously. Think about how that's going to work. When you have your alone time with God, say, God, what do you want me to give? And I've talked to many people over the years. When they've prayed that prayer, God drops a number in their heart. And they go, no, that's not God. It's way too much. I can't afford that. I don't even spend that on Starbucks. What are you talking about? But I dare you, if God drops that number into your heart, test it. See what happens. That will give you a testimony. I promise you. And finally this morning, the letter S. Study God's Word. Now, alone time with God and Bible memorization and studying God's Word, those parts of this word habits, these things are connected for sure. But I was wanting to make the distinction between the why of each of those. And so here we have studying God's Word. And so if you're doing your devotional time and you're reading a devotional book or whatever, but there's a question that pops in your mind, take the extra couple minutes and Google it. There's Bible.org. There's Bible Memory. There's all kinds of Bible websites that'll give you resources and access to commentaries and access to all kinds of writing to further your learning about what it is you got questions on when you read something in the Bible. Studying the Bible doesn't have to be an 8-hour endeavor. But when you encounter something when you're reading and you go, huh, that's interesting. I wonder what that means. I wonder what that's about. Why would he say that? Check it out. Dig around. Grab your brain shovel and start digging into the text and see what's underneath. What's going on? What makes it say that? Study God's Word. Take the time to dig around. That little bit of extra effort that you have in Bible study will pay dividends as you journey with God as a disciple. When the disciples walked with Jesus, they had all kinds of questions. We don't have all the little conversations that were happening as they walked all over Palestine. But I'm sure there were, because we've got some of the questions that are showing up there. We have those written for us in the Bible. But it's just the conversation you have as you're walking. We don't have a lot of those, but I'm sure they asked them. And they were digging around to try and figure it out. Take the time. Have alone time with God. Find some way to be accountable. Memorize your Bible. Bible memorization. Get involved in your faith community. Tithe and give generously. And then study God's Word. It's never too late to start a good habit. Never too late. Let's pray.